Hello, everybody. So I will present the diffs of the alto called multicast alto. Next slide, please. So just an outline of this draft. There was a presentation at the last IETF meeting in Quebec. So the version at that time was 3. So this draft presents the diffs between actually 3 and 5. So the last draft was sketching a multicast alto transaction for the endpoint cost service. And at that time, at the meeting, the possible inclusion of multiple cost types in transaction was approved. So this draft also, last version, was proposing a time-sensitive cost types and associated use cases. So regarding this version, so the main part is actually on multicast services. So it includes extension of the ALTO protocol and ALTO services to include several cost types in one single ALTO transaction. It introduces new multicast-specific ALTO services, specifies the multicast services URIs with the associated objects and formats. It specifies multicast transactions for those multicast services, provides examples of transactions, and also provides an example of IRD with multicast services and capabilities. In that draft, there is a separate section on multiple cost values for one cost type. So I would like to stress that this topic is actually something, a discussion that should be separated from the multicast extensions itself. But it is in that draft because from the beginning there was a paragraph on this topic. So I will I will just talk about it, but present it briefly. So next slide, please. So the objective of multicast, the main objective is to gain time and resources by transport information on end cost types on one single ALTO transaction rather than having N transactions on one cost type. One multicast map instead of N cost map is actually less bulky to store than N cost maps, both at the client side and in an ALTO server. Although the storage in ALTO servers is out of the ALTO scope. One multicast map also represents a smaller data volume to transport. One multicast transaction is, for sure faster than N single cost transactions. And same goes for filtered multicast map. As for the endpoint multicast service, doing it with several cost types is faster and easy to implement. So next slide, please.
Rich Halimi, I think those are fine advantages. One thing to document as a disadvantage might be cacheability, though. If you have multiple cost maps and different clients are asked for different combinations, it may hurt cacheability, but that depends on the design that we end up with. But it's something to keep in mind.
Yes, sure. This needs to be looked after more thoroughly. But I didn't get to that point. So next slide, please. So about the multicast services. So in this draft, the term endpoints or EP covers a peer, a CDN storage location, a party in a grid computing, or any party in applications that involve several endpoints. There is also the fact that we consider that the properties have constant values, whereas costs can vary. So for the multicast services, we have set 2 rules. So the first rule is that when multiple cost types are requested, then the requested cost mode for those cost types that are encoded with JSON number must be numerical. So the reason for that is to avoid having a complicated management on transactions with multiple cost types that mix ordinal and numerical. And by the way, if you do any multivariate optimization, actually doesn't make sense with ordinal costs. Of course, this rule, number one, does not apply on costs which are encoded by something else than JSON number. For example, mentioned it earlier, cost could be actually coded with a Boolean or a string, for example. So, of course, this rule in that case does not apply. The second rule is on value order specification. So the autoresponse must include an array of cost types. And putting it another way, the cost values that are provided for a source and destination pair must be provided in the same order as they are in the cost type vector.
Richelini, so why is it possible to simplify the first rule to just say that you can't mix numerical and ordinal? Or because if we were to change, like Martin suggested in one of the earlier slots, we might end up changing it so that in the base document we say, like, it could be any JSON value, it just so happens that the cost type we register are numbers, in which case it seems like saying that they must be JSON numbers seems a bit limiting. And I guess maybe I'm just confused as I'm not sure what it means when it says this rule doesn't apply when the costs are bools or strings.
Yeah. That would do, because the main concern was to avoid mixing ordinal and numerical.
Okay.
And also the concern was also that it should be numerical. It's not only about mixing ordinal and numerical, but actually having downloading several ordinal cost types doesn't really make sense. So it just simplifies. But yes, we can put it this way.
Okay.
And maybe provide some indication saying that, well, you should mix both, and preferably you should rather go for numerical.
Okay. I might say that it might make sense to document why not mix them. I think that just because it doesn't make sense probably isn't a very compelling reason. Maybe somebody comes along a year from now and says it really makes a lot of sense for me. I mean, if there's a technical limitation that makes it a lot simpler to specify in the protocol, then that's probably a good reason not to do it. Or that's probably a good reason to make this. Or if there's a technical reason that makes like the complexity of the protocol blow up, that's probably a good reason to document.
And John Peterson is an individual here. I think I agree that... I think if you're mixing different types of costs, at some level there's going to have to be an intelligence that does that, right? It's not something I think you're just going to be able to do mechanically. There's definitely some policy that decides that. And I think it's not going to be a simple policy in all likelihood, right? I mean, just given the types of things people seem to want to use as costs. So I suspect that just saying you need to reduce this to, you know, cardinal values or something is not really going to simplify it all that much at the end of the day. You're still going to have to do that work of reconciling what these things actually mean.
So... Yes, please. So the specified multicast services in that draft are the multicast map service, the filtered multicast map service, the endpoint multicast service. The draft introduces new media types for these services, for the multicast map services and the endpoint multicast service. There are also new object types that describe the resources, capabilities, the input parameters, and the responses. And also the draft provides example on multiple auto requests and responses for each of the three services.
Richard Limi again. I could imagine another way to specify this would be to specify something like add the elements of the capabilities of what the existing interface is, where it just says I support multiple costs. I could imagine advantages and disadvantages to each of them. If we add a new capability, we have to make sure that adding an extension with a new capability doesn't break existing clients and that kind of stuff. I'm wondering if you had any comments on like comparing those two approaches, either if not now, maybe document it in the draft or something, because it might make sense to at least explore both possibilities.
I'm not sure I got your question.
The current way is you're adding a new content type for each existing service that should support multiple cost types.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to think about it is multiple costs is a capability of an existing interface, the Alto network map, or sorry, the Alto cost map content type. Is the same. It just so happens that inside of it you can also encode something with multiple costs. I see the argument for the content type being different. I guess I was just wondering if there was if we could have some sort of a comparison for the two different approaches to see which one might make the most sense. Because I think the original one we discussed on the list was adding some sort of a capability, but. I think I see the rationale for doing a new content type. But.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should actually really write down what would result with both approaches. The idea here was more to think of it as something that could be added beside the existing core protocol, actually, because the discussion was that the concern was to minimize the changes on the core protocol to allow this to happen.
Right, and if it means that if it were to be the case that we had to make a simple change to the base protocol to increase extensibility, that might be worthwhile. So if it's a simple change to the base protocol to let us do a simple make a simpler extension, that might be worthwhile. Because we do have the chance to make small changes to the protocol at this point.
Well, then in that case, if we can consider doing a simple change in the base protocol, definitely that would avoid having to define all those. That would lessen the volume of new things to define here, for sure.
Right. Let me clarify a little bit. If it's a small change to the base protocol that increases extensibility in general, I think it makes sense. If it's just extensibility for a specific purpose, it's probably a little bit less useful in the base protocol. But
mm-hmm. Okay. The next, please. Now on the multicast transactions. So. Just this is a summary of the differences that one may see when looking at the multicast transactions. So I better go to the next slide with the examples. So here, as for the main changes, for example, if you have a response for the multicast map, so you will have the new thing is that you have an array of cost types, so the cost types you get. And so in this example, we have the routing cost and the hop count, and it comes together with an array of the same size on the cost mods. So in that case, of course, they are both numerical because both of these cost types are encoded with JSON number. And then in the cost map you have here, for every pair of source and destination PIDs, you have now a JSON array. This is no more a JSON number. This is a JSON array containing the values for these costs, and with that rule saying that the order in which you provide this cost in that JSON array must be the same order as the one in the cost type array. So the next slide.
Sorry, question?
Ah, pardon. Yeah.
Martin Stiemeling speaking. So I think I still have a hard time to understand the multi-cost maps, and just it's like a clarification question for me, because from reading the draft and the slides, I'm a bit confused. So, so you're just returning like multiple cost values for like a PID combination back. So in this case, you have PID 1 is like writing cost is 1, hop count is 6, and you suppose that the clients are using this to, let's say, make like a two-stage optimization out of that. Meaning you could optimize first on the routing cost and then you go again through the list and optimize on the hop count.
Well, actually the way, the method for optimization that I had in mind for that motivated this work is not a sequential optimization.
Well,
I mean, although it's out of scope of the
yeah,
alpha
but it's
protocol.
Like, it's like, but it was just an easy example.
So the first motivation was actually because there was a need to do multivariate optimization, multi-objective optimization, and for that there are methods that I needed a vector of several values.
Yeah. Okay,
but
please,
because it's not enough to. Because it's not usually not enough to use one single metric to do the optimization.
Right.
Just for example.
Okay. No, then I got it. So.
Okay.
But it's like because we had the same functionality in the H1.2 protocol, and that was called like primary ready criteria, and a secondary, and a third, and you could give like multi-dimensional criteria to optimize the problem. So just okay. Then I know it a bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's. More convenient. And by the way, I mean also to this has a link of Jan Peterson's remark. Actually, so that was I would say that is one good reason to have in one shot a vector of costs. But actually, it does not mean that maybe there also may be other reasons. To need a cost map with several different metrics in one shot.
John, again, as an individual, I certainly agree. I think that it just part of what Martin I think was pointing out is the application complexity that assumes, in the sense that I can certainly imagine for different kinds of content, I might be interested in different kinds of metrics, right? Or for different applications of Alto, if I'm trying to figure out where the right Skype supernode is to go through, I might care about something very different than if, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to download a large file. And there are, I guess, kind of two high-level approaches to this as an architecture, right? One of them is that we expect Alto is going to communicate to you the broadest possible array of different criteria you might be interested in for your application. And the other is to kind of have applications specifically ask for what they want,
uh-huh.
right? And to get back something that tells them, well, for your application, for voice over IP, uh-huh. you want this, and uh-huh. you just get back one. So, I mean, there are a bunch of different ways to skin the cat, I think, and it's largely a question of whether you think that complexity for that decision should reside in the application or somewhere else in the network.
Well, to answer your question, maybe we can go to the next slide. This is just an illustration of how it can look like in the IRD.
I don't think people can read that slide.
Yeah, okay, so but you can see it in the draft. Okay, so if we move to the next slide. So this may answer to your question. This is on the actually a service that is more likely and maybe more feasible as far as scalability or that huge volume issue on huge volume is concerned. So this is called a filtered multicast map. The idea is to filter the information that you want to get not only on the source and destination PIDs, but also on the numerical. So if we look, for example, in the IRD, in the capabilities, so you have all the available costs in the map that are registered in the capabilities. Maybe, I'm sorry, even if people cannot read it, maybe we should go to the previous slides with the example in the IRD. So here you have the example IRD with the multicast map service. So even if you can read it, so please believe me, here you have an array of cost types, and here you have an array of cost modes. And so if you catch these capabilities from the IRD, then you may sort out the metrics that you want information on in your filtered multicast map request. So then we can go to the next slide. So here, for example, I'm sorry. In the request. So in the request, you can put the cost types that you need, and again with the associated cost mod. And then you have, after that, and of course you can also filter on the PIDs. And on the next slide, you will see the response. And so here is how the response looks like. And, I'm sorry.
Next.
Yes, please. Okay, so that was it for the multicast aspects. And I will now just introduce the other topic that, again, should be separated from the multicast draft and needs a further discussion on the list. So the idea is to provide costs that are not represented by a single value, but as an array of value. For example, that could be the values that this cost takes at different time periods or in different places or in different contexts. So this can be useful. It can be useful to have such an array. It can be useful to have such an array to have a kind of a schedule or to have values in advance if you want, for example, to schedule data transfers across both locations and above it across time zones. So if you want to use these value arrays, this requires also the definition of appropriate scope attributes, such as the one mentioned in the draft that includes the number of samples, the unit, for example. If this is an array of values in different time periods, you will have the time unit that can be an hour, how many of these units, and information like that. So the draft also introduces a new cost mod called dynamic, but we had some hallway discussion in the meantime, and well, the idea, it seemed tricky to present this as a mode because dynamic, dynamic can apply to other modes such as numerical mode. So you would have the Boolean dynamic mode, the numerical dynamic mode. So I think that it's rather than a mode, it should be defined as some other attribute. So the cost values, in that case, in dynamic mode, are represented with a JSON array. So this case is different from the one where I request, I have values that are varying pretty frequently in time and that are reported, so in the Alto server, let's say every minute. So this is not, this is a different thing because, I may have values changing every minute, and basically I just can just get this value every minute or every 5 minutes by placing an ALTO query, and I can get it in a single valued mode. So this is really a particular use case where you just need an array of values.
If you want to wrap up, I think we are running out of time.
For this section, we also propose a rule, and this time the array of values have to be of the same JSON types and must be available. For the numerical ones, they must be also available as a single value. And so the applicable cost modes are numerical, Boolean, ordinal, not sure, array, not sure. And finally, the draft also proposes an example of URI and transaction with numerical cost types. Okay, that's it.
So we need to warn the working group that there is an IPR disclosure on this draft, correct?
Yes.
And is that what Martin was about to say? Yeah. Okay.
So Martin Stimmeling. So our general comment of the draft is that from the presentation and from the draft, I fear that this becomes overly complex in the end. Especially the last part was like varying cost values. That's my concern there. With the multicost, I can probably see that it will fit somehow into the other protocol, but this looks like, ooh, if we really should go down that way, or we need to think about more if this is really like an extension at some point.
This is why, actually, I really suggested to take it out, to take it as a separate, something separate from the multicast topic.
Okay, and the other, that's this point, but the multicast topic, for instance, I can do multicast even by today with the ALTO protocol. It's maybe a bit more time or maybe data on the wire. So I can ask two times for like two different cost types.
Well, okay, so this is something I should also...
No, this is the multi-cost, not this, the multi-cost part. With like fixed static values, not varying costs.
I'm not sure I got your question.
Now, the point is that even today I could ask using the regular ALTO protocol, we have it right now, saying, okay, my first question is give me the cost map for routing cost. Then I ask again, like, give me the cost map for hop count, air miles, what they have. And I would have the same type of information available on my client. I just would need to do the mergers of the two cost maps locally, which is no magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but actually the purpose of the draft was to avoid having multiple requests and having to do the work of merging the information. I mean, it seems kind of natural that there are several costs available for a map. So why not using the capabilities, in particular filtering capabilities? I think that you may not, actually the map service may not be necessarily the most... The use case that looks the most easiest or the lightest to run, but if you think at the first idea was also for the endpoint cost service, definitely in that case it's easier and it's easy to implement, and it doesn't really bring it brings more benefits than drawbacks because it's pretty light for the endpoint cost service. As for the filtered cost map service, again, you're not obliged to request for all the costs. You can request for a couple of them. And then you just get the information in one shot. And basically, it's maybe a trade-off. Either you get it in one shot and you're done with it, or you have to do several transactions and, I mean, all in all, the volume of transported data gets bigger for two cost maps rather than for one cost map with just having an array instead of single values.
Okay, Rich Halimi, I think I agree it could be an optimization in some part. I mean, in some scenarios, I think that the current or proposal on the mailing list is leave multicast as an extension and not do it as in the base protocol.
Any further comments on multicast or varying cost? Could I just get kind of a sense of the room of people who think that kind of progressing with the multicast work in roughly the form presented in the draft is something people here are interested in? Again, bearing in mind, as has been pointed out by the chairs, that there is an intellectual property disclosure. We are not in the business of passing judgment on intellectual property disclosures here, but it's, you know, we're not going to say whether it's valid or not or something like that. We have no idea. But it's something that factors into the working group's consideration to do work and so on. So do you want to say something before we get to that?
Yeah, I couldn't hop up to the mic quickly enough without to comment on this draft. Dave McDyson. I think that's potentially what's useful in this draft to me is some of the use cases, which to me could potentially be a draft that could continue, maybe split up into two sections, but focus on the use cases potentially as Aalto finishes his work for a rechartering activity is what I would see as useful out of this draft, to have further discussions on what you could do with these and whether I transfer all the multiple costs in one message in one transaction or multiple ones, as Martin said, is probably a detail, understanding what we would do with this to start for rechartering or things that we want Aalto to do beyond what the initial specs would do is what I would be in favor of.
Okay, so your suggestion is that we defer consideration of this essentially and say, at the time as we're done everything else, we'll come back to this?
But kind of, you know, as we prepare for finishing the work here, people start thinking about splitting this in drafts to focus on the use cases, maybe not so much so the encoding or the optimizations of, you know, how we would transfer information until we understand better how we would want to use such things. And I think include the considerations like Rich mentioned of the backward compatibility. Because you're going to have a deployed base here. Anything new you have to do, you don't want to have to go change all that to do these new things.
Maybe this is a general question for the chairs, but if we're going to consider this for these two drafts, it would be nice to sort of see how we should treat the other extensions that are under consideration in general, too. I mean, should we keep those as like individual submissions for now? And I mean, if we're going to do that and then wait till rechartering to take them as working group items, or is there something else we should be doing with that? Or,
I mean, this is something where the chairs would obviously consult with our esteemed area director to resolve that at some level, but I mean, we would need new milestones and so on that would reflect these, and that would involve at least that degree of rechartering. Whether that actually would require a more intensive change to the scope of the group, I think that's something we'd probably ruminate about first. But yeah, there would at least be milestones that are assigned to this.
Okay.
But can I do kind of still want to get a sense of where people are just on this in particular. It's been up a couple times, and do you want to add something before I do that? Or
I was just going to say, I think multicast is probably useful and probably worthwhile to do as an extension. I have a little bit of doubts about the time-varying costs because I think that could probably be achieved in probably a more general way by just maybe even I'm asking for the Aalto cost as of this particular time, and maybe in the past or the future. Do you know? There may be a more general mechanism to do that. That's my feeling on these two proposals.
Okay. Well. Well, given that, I think we probably could just defer this discussion. That's fine. So, thank you.